So the Lama may be very peaceful with some and give gifts and smile. With some, very wrathful, depending on the person and the time. If some person has been acting negatively towards the Lama, towards the Dharma, towards others, again and again, year after year after year, basically almost lying, karmic retribution is very heavy. The Lama will always show a wrathful face towards that person. Why? Because the Lama cares. To ordinary beings, it's viewed as frustration or anger from the Lama. That's their level. That's how they'll perceive it. That's how they'll perceive it. When Kev Sarmji screamed and yelled at people and beat monks, we folded our hands and prostrated and secretly hoped we'd be beaten, scared to death, but we secretly hope. Because there are some monks that Sarmji beat and some monks he didn't. In the same room, the next day, the ones that were beaten died. He made their diseases manifest. Well, that's very well known. Even sometimes the fierce protectors like Cedric comes. Very fierce with some of the monks. Sometimes they're very fierce, some of the monks, they actually catch them and throw them. Catch them here in front of thousands of monks and throttle them and throw them. Say, oh, but you're supposed to be compassionate, etc. Next day we find out the monk is disrobed. He was deceiving people. So his karma is very heavy, etc. is purifying. Purifying by his humiliation. And nobody knew. We've seen that in the monasteries. It's very rare, etc. comes and talks nicely. It's very rare. Unless it's one of the high lamas who's worked very hard for others, if he comes in the presence of Cedric in the monastery, in an oracle monk, Cedric calms down. Calms down. The great Nanchung protector of Tibet takes oracle, trance, and meets the high officials and meets the high lamas in Tibet once a year for Losa to give prophecies for the future. And he's very fierce. Very, very fierce. You can do a search on him, Nanchung, N-E-C-H-U-N-G. He's very fierce. But in the presence of the Dalai Lama, he's very calm, very quiet. Always, in every single lifetime of the Dalai Lama. Similarly, Cedric is very, very fierce. But to a person, he doesn't need to be fierce. He's not fierce. When I went up, when there was a whole bunch of Rinpoches, we were sitting on chairs, and a whole bunch of lamas in the monastery, we went up to the audience, I was trembling. I was trembling. I'm not kidding. I was trembling at my knees. Like, when I go up there, ooh, is he going to be nice to me, or am I going to be humiliated? And there goes my ego, not wanting. I want to be enlightened, but I don't want to go through the process of being enlightened. Isn't that so silly? I want to be happy. I want to be enlightened. I want peace. I want to be a Mahasiddha. I want to benefit the world. I want to have bodhicitta. I want to be a Buddha, but don't make me go through the hard work. Let me get enlightened on my couch watching a DVD, eating a pizza, making love to my couch and sofa. So let me be a Buddha, but please don't make me go through it. Huh? Can I please be a professor of physics, but I don't have to go to school, just buy me the degree? There are some people out there who think like that. Buy it for me, brapa. Buy it for me, how much? There are people out there like that. So imagine you want to get enlightened, but you don't want to go through the methods and actions. So let me put it simply, and I base it on Bodhisattva Chaitavatara. I'm not making it up. I can't make it up. There's too many smart people. If you really love yourself, and you really love the people around you, and you really love the people that love you and have helped you and have been very kind to you, you work very hard for the Dharma. You work very hard on the inner Dharma of transformation. And you put yourself in situations where your ego will be battered and smashed. You put yourself in that situation where your ego will be battered and smashed if you love yourself and others. Why? If you operate from an egoless space, you won't create suffering for others and yourself. If you operate from an egoless space or less ego, the results will be different. Ego-based motivation, ego-based results. Egoless motivation and action, egoless results. So what happens is, how can we not become changed or make a difference in our lives from the people's lives that we love? If we say we love them, but we continue to torture them. If we say we love them, we don't transform our habits. If we say we love them and we really want to do Dharma and we really want to help and we don't transform an iota of ourselves In fact, we escape from ourselves. We escape from the actual place or path or persons or beings or vehicle that can transform us. Impossible. That's for whatever religion you're in. Or even if you're not in a religion, don't think, oh, okay, I'm not getting to religion. That's for anyone. Anyone even not in religion. Even if you're not in religion, you can't escape from yourself. You can't get away from yourself. So if we do things, and then ego, and ego-less or ego-based is not religious words either. It's not religious words either. Ego means doing things from a selfish attitude. If we do things from a selfish attitude, the result will be selfish results. And we always have to protect our results. And the results are not lasting. So what's very important is, what through study and through time and through understanding we know is really the priority in life. So that's why I always start on the basis of love of ourselves, love of others, love of people that love us to repay their kindness. That's why I always focus on that, because no matter how you go on the teachings, it leads back to them. How much you care about others is how much effort you put in. How much effort you don't put in is how much you don't care about others, no matter how pleasant you look, how beautiful you look, or how nice you speak, or how your time just passes by. If you cannot change your body actions, your facial actions, your body language, and you cannot change your mind, you cannot change your effort, you cannot change your laziness, if you can't change any of that, no matter how many times you say, I care, I love, or you have guru devotion, it will come out the opposite. Why? It's plain to see. It's very plain to see. If we say there's a Dharma talk, a Dharma activity, you're spontaneous to go to learn and listen, it means you want to transform. Some people, when you say there's a Dharma talk or Dharma teaching or puja, they don't have time, they're busy, they're trapped, they're overwhelmed, they have to make a living, etc., etc., etc. But if it's actually for entertainment or parties or fun or meeting or social events, they have plenty of time. They'll squeeze the time. On the way to work, they'll make the time. They're good or bad? No, it's not a judgment of good or bad. It's how we can examine the state of the person's mind. In fact, and have more compassion for them. Individually, it's different. For those who we can approach the soft way, approach soft way. Those we need to approach the wrathful way, approach the wrathful way. Because why? Different types of minds. If, in fact, it says in the Bodhisattva vows, if you're taking the Bodhisattva vows and you don't break the vow, and you have to break it to help another, you broke a vow. Because it's repairable. If you don't break, and you're supposed to help someone, you break a vow. In the Bodhisattva vows. So what happens is, if you need to speak up and you don't speak up, as Lhasa Khyentse Rinpoche said in his book, then you are part of it. If you keep quiet and you let it happen, or you expect other people to show you the way, or you expect other people to guide you or give you the direction, and you don't want to be the leading light, you don't want to be the direction, you don't want to make an effort for it, you expect others to do, and then if they don't, then you say, I didn't get the direction. And that's incorrect. Why is that incorrect? To a certain level, you're correct. If you're a child, but if you're an adult, no. You must make the effort to know. You must make an effort. Buddha went to the forest and meditated on his own. He didn't blame other people when he didn't get enlightened. He did not. So therefore, what's important is not to think that our enlightenment is dependent on how other people act towards me, or my spiritual development is how important that people act towards me, or how they act towards me. That's not the attitude to have. Why? Then it's letting laziness take over again. Then if laziness takes over, we become disillusioned. We give up, we don't want to do, or we just become like Sunday practitioners. We just recite empty, but we don't actually apply it. That's very dangerous, to become a Sunday practitioner. It's why every other day you're just yourself, you don't care, but on Sunday, you're all holy smoly. No. So what's important is we need to check our mind. We need to check our mind. Clearly, the direction is going to. And we need to ask ourselves one question. And I use this one because it's fundamental for all of us. Do we love the people we say we love? And even if they don't know what we're doing, we know. Especially after we listen to the Dharma. We know. Do we love the people we love? If we love the people we love, we will stop making excuses for our lack of transformation, Dharma practice, and inabilities, we will stop. If we don't stop, it's very clear we don't love anyone but ourselves. But the ultimate joke is we actually don't love ourselves, because in the end we're alone and we suffer even more. Even eating requires effort. You have to chew and swallow and digest. What in this world doesn't have effort? So if we love others, if we love people we love, and we want to, never mind repay their kindness, but even not burden them, we have to transform ourselves. We have to. So if we have a Lama who's kind enough to guide us and show us the way, with no agenda, no agenda, we should grab that opportunity. We should grab it. If we have met a Lama, if we have met an organization, we have met a place that we feel love, love on the ultimate sense of caring for our future and our rebirth, we should grab the chance. We should promote it. We should sponsor it. We should help it. We should do all the work we can. Instead of being afraid of commitment, we should commit. Why? It's the only shred of hope we have for ourselves and others. And not make excuses. Not let time pass by. We lose more hair. We lose more of our energy and our health. How much time do we actually have left? Even the high lamas have to pass away. I went to my guru's funeral recently. They opened a funeral pier, and I saw his body burning in front of me. It woke me up. What did it wake me up? I'm going to tell you the truth. I prayed, may I never have relationships in this life and future lives. Never. That distract me away. May I never have children. Never. I prayed in front of his body, may I never be engaged in work that just focused on making money for the sake of it. And I prayed, if I'm going to be born in a rich country and rich family, or poor country, poor family, may I use the circumstances to turn it around to bring Dharma to others. That's why I prayed in front of his burning body. Do you know why? Because I was scared. I visualized myself inside there, and my legs and my body burning away and melting. I was scared. Even when Rinpoche passed away and he was burning, I received the Dharma teaching. Even when I saw his body burning, I received the holy Dharma teaching. I was scared. He's so incredibly advanced in his practice. I know it for a fact. I'm not the only one. I'm not some fanatical follower. It's recognized by thousands. And his body was inside the fire burning, and they were throwing wood on it. You know, I mean, the funeral people, and making it burn more. It smelled very nice. They put camphor and saffron and flowers there when I saw it. And I saw his legs distinctly. The top part I couldn't see, but all the bottom part I saw distinctly burning. And it created fear in me. I thought, even in the end, my lamas are gone. The only thing that's left is the teachings he's given me. And if I don't practice it, that's my destiny. I was so scared. I stayed up there by myself. I waited for the crowd to disappear. I waited for the crowd to go do their pujas. I'm not really interested in pujas, because I know, I'm sorry to say, he doesn't need the pujas to help him. That they need the pujas to help themselves for his reincarnation. But I stood by his funeral pier because I selfishly wanted a last teaching. I want to see a body burning. And it was very dramatic to see my Lama's body burning. The one I received so much initiations and teachings from. And I said to myself, I'm going to push myself even more towards no agenda life. No agenda. No accumulation of wealth for myself in itself. No accumulation of reputation for myself in itself. I don't want any relationships. I don't want any in this life and future lives, because it ends up nowhere. I'm sorry, no offense to anyone. I pray for that very hard. And to be happy, to benefit others, to use my life for others. I pray for that very hard. I didn't pray for very high things, but I pray for things that are better. Why? One day, my students will put me in the fire. One day my body will be burning in there, and I visualized it. One day all of you will push me in, and I will be burning. One day soon, in fact very soon. Then no matter what pujas you do for me, it's not going to make a difference for me. It's what I've done when I was living. How much I've done, how many centers I have, how many students doesn't matter. How much I have transformed my life. And that's what hit me very strong. I'm not here preaching to you. Really, I'm not. This is what I was thinking about. I'm not preaching to you at all. So I put myself in the funeral pyre. So these days when I do my death meditations, I lock myself in my bedroom. I stay there. I do all kinds of things there. People can assume whatever they want I'm doing in my bedroom, but I know what I'm doing in my bedroom. I lock myself in there. I don't leave for hours, 12 hours, 15 hours. When I do my death meditations, when I do my practices, I don't like to let people know. I like to make them think I'm doing something else. It's more exciting that way. Much more exciting. I like to pride myself as a secret mahasiddha. I know it's another fantasy trip I'm on, but it's okay. At least I pretend to be a secret mahasiddha than a rock star. Can you see me as like Aerosmith screaming on the stage? You're like, well, you already scream off the stage, so why not? Okay, that's fine. Thank you. You win. But when I do my meditations, I've added that to the equation. See myself in the fire. I used to see myself being buried, but now I see myself in the fire because it's much more dramatic. Much, much more. And I had a visual aid. So my point is, why do I talk about that? It helps us to get a grip on reality and what is really important. Because irregardless of religion or race or background, that is going to happen to us. That is going to happen. That is going to happen to us. And if we don't meditate on it, if we avoid it and we don't think about it, we won't change. If we don't meditate and think about it, we won't have our priorities correct. If we don't focus and meditate on it and we're afraid of it, then you know what happens? We don't love the people around us. Don't talk about the whole world, even the people around us. Why? We didn't do anything for them. In fact, we become a burden. And that's the difference. So when people tell me they want to do this and this and this, you know what's the first thing that pops in my mind? I'm so sorry. How much time do you have left? You still want to waste your time on that? That's exactly what I think all the time. Even people who read a lot of Dharma books, I look at them and say, any attainments? Or is it just puffed up knowledge like a peacock? Any attainments? So you've read 3,000 Dharma books, you can recite it verbatim, you know it very well. Any attainments? Any transformation? Any? If it's not, they'll just have more fuel to burn you up with, your books. Doesn't make a difference. So whether you read a lot and you're very knowledgeable in Dharma or not, or you're not very knowledgeable like me, we're still going to burn. But when we burn, the actions we've done in this life, you know, gross actions are very easy to see. Subtle actions are more dangerous. Subtle laziness, subtle pride, subtle arrogance, subtle feeling of superiority, subtle lack of care, subtle lack of discipline, subtle giving. See, when you don't discipline yourself, you don't inspire people, you're not giving. You're not practicing the six paramitas at all. That's subtle. So for an ordinary person, they can't see that. They see, oh, you're doing Dharma, you're teaching, you're meditating, you're practicing, you're chanting, you're pujaing, you have an altar, you're making offerings, you're wearing a pendant, you're doing your mantras, you hold the mala, and you go to the Dharma center, maybe you can hold a position. Those are all gross types of manifestations. But actually, more important is the subtle. Why? Because the subtle controls the gross. The subtle is the factor behind the gross. So are we subtly selfish? Are we subtly very lazy? Are we subtly unwilling to change or transform or discipline ourselves? If we are, it's very dangerous. Why? Gross can be taken away. You know, if you waste your time in discos, they can take that away, but they can't take your gross attachment to discos away. Very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. So for some people who are overtly attached openly, but if you talk to them, they try to transform, that's good. But if they're not overtly attached and they don't manifest that, but introvertly they are attached, and they're very subtly attached to themselves, therefore they have ego, they're attached to their knowledge, therefore they have pride and arrogance, they're attached to their activities, therefore they don't want bend for others and justify the Dharma, that's very dangerous. Why? Because the subtle mind is what travels with you. And the subtle mind is what the karma attaches itself to. So you may be fooling others with gross dharma actions, or yourself Fooling doesn't mean a negative way. Some people don't even know. But subtle, you cannot. Subtle, you cannot. That's why sometimes we can examine our actions by inner, sometimes. But if we're going to apply that to Chikung Trungpa, impossible. Why is it impossible? Because he's a beyond reproach? No, we're not at that level yet. Yet is the key. Yet. So therefore, why? Number six, why did he not remember his wife's name the day after they were married? Why did he not remember his wife's name right after he was married? JP, can you share with us what you think about that?
I think it's because he was more interested in connecting to her mind and not the external factors, the external aspects of her. It was a lot. It was beyond that. So that's why he forgot.
What do you think, Andy? Microphone time. Yeah, okay, got it. In 10,000 words or less. Thank you. I forgot.
I don't think Rinpoche forgot his wife's name because such beings have the ability to do to move.
Which Rinpoche? I don't have a wife.
Trungpa Rinpoche?
Oh, okay. Excuse me. Let's make it clear because there's some newbies here.
So these kinds of Rinpoches have the ability to move in several dimensions at the same time. So I think I would say it was a little.
When you say dimension, do you mean a different plane of existence?
Yes, like, so when we hear this story, we think, well, he's just in the absolute, so he just forgets, he doesn't even care, he doesn't even hear her name, but...
If you're an absolute, how do you forget?
That's a very good answer.
That's a good answer, it's a question.
So, well, people like us, we can only be in one place at the same time, but people like them, they can be in the absolute and the relative at the same time, so...
So maybe he was focused somewhere else.
Yes, but...
Maybe he was just daydreaming.
I don't think he forgot her name at all. I think he was just doing his game of teaching her no attachment.
I think, that's good. I think he was letting her know to get ready what she's in for.
Yes.
I think that's what he was doing. To let her know, get ready. Because in a conventional sense, if you're marrying someone, you can't even remember their name. Hello? Now let's be a little nasty, you know, because we can never get away without talking about sex. This is a Kachara house. You know when you're in bed with your partner and you're doing your thing and when you're almost finished you call out somebody else's name? How does your partner feel? Similarly, in a conventional sense, when they're getting married, that's even worse. It's not even you got old with your partner, you found somebody else. It's just on that day you forget their name. In a conventional sense, how do you feel? In a conventional sense, you feel totally insulted. So his wife, in order to get ready for the Dharma work she will do in the future, in order for her to get ready for the amount of crowds she needs to get ready for, in order to get ready for the amount of the busy life and to dedicate herself to others, he is getting her ready by making her blow her mind away of her identity. Blow her mind away of how she thinks it should be so that she doesn't suffer as much and she can reach her potential. He gave her total, direct, mind-blowing training. And you know what's wonderful about Diane Mukpo? She didn't run away. Diane Mukpo did not run away. And 20 or 30 years down the line, she can even write a book praising this, talking about this, and giving us an explanation. That's the level she had reached due to Rinpoche's kindness. She apparently has a very strong connection with him for some reason to spread the Dharma with him. So on the day of their marriage, he was letting her know, get ready. Your life will be to benefit others, to help others, to open yourself to others, to sacrifice yourself to others, and I'm letting you know, get ready. Of course, at that time, she's like, am I marrying the right person? You can't even remember my name. But 30 years later, when she writes this book, She's very emotional. She's very moved. It's too late, he's gone. It's an incredible teaching. And Mahasiddhas, or highly advanced beings, or beings who have no agenda, they will teach us in such a way that puts their reputation on the line. Jivyantrungpa put his reputation on the line with his wife. Totally put his reputation with his with everybody around him. They're like, what? This is a freak. He put his reputation on the line. A person who is not afraid to make themselves look bad to help another person, even long term, is a person with no agenda. A person with no agenda is practicing with us, teaching. So for the rest of us, we look at them as, that's obnoxious, that's bad, that's so disrespectful. What kind of person is that? All kinds of debates ensue. Why? Because we operate from a different level. What an incredible teaching. And true to his form, for the rest of her life, willingly and sometimes unwillingly with respect to her, she gave herself to others. She gave herself to others. She's still giving herself to others. And for the rest of her life, she'll give herself to others due to the kindness of her Guru Lama, or Lama Guru, who dared to lose his inhibition and his reputation to change a person's life who will be instrumental in benefiting many beings in the future. What else could it be? What else could it be? Why? Look at the results. What else could it be? Am I glamorizing it? Am I justifying it? No, I'm not connected with them. Jivyantrungpa ain't my cousin, and you know, if he loses his reputation, I lose an inheritance. He's nothing. He's nothing to me. He's something, but to me, he's nothing, meaning I'm not related to him. You know, I'm not connected with him or nothing. So I have no motives for saying that, definitely. But what I'm trying to say is, teachings are not always on a throne to students on a cushion. Teachings can be just like that. And if we're afraid and we escape and we run away from teachings just like that, we lose our chance. And if we say we need to love ourselves more and that's why I can't do the teachings, actually it's contradictory. We don't love ourselves. We don't. Why? Everything we've done proves it. Everything we've done in our life proves that we haven't loved ourselves. It's very, very clear. So, many people thought that Rinpoche had lost his mind and he was an alcoholic. How can we determine Lama's actions are beneficial or not? Now, I don't want to hear any stereotypical answers. I don't want to hear anything quoted. Some of the things I read were exactly written from the book, no self-explanation, nothing. People just say, well, let me write down what's in the book. And it looks very nice, it sounds very nice, but that's not the way the person would have spoken if I asked them. So it looks good, never mind. That's what they're doing at this time, better than nothing. So, number seven, how would you answer that, Chia? Many people thought that Rinpoche had lost his mind, that he was an alcoholic. How can we determine the Lama's actions are beneficial or not? Actually, these are very good questions. They're all made up by Joseph. He's heading the class. Quite good questions. Got me thinking too. The microphone's tweaking, shall I wake it up? See karma.
I think that we never judge about the Lama actions, whether even if he's alcoholic.
Okay, what I want you to do is this. I want you to benefit everybody. I want you to tell us in Mandarin. Yes, and Joseph will translate. That'd be a new one, new twist. Actually, I put a couch here and call people up and talk. Wouldn't that be neat? We'll do that soon. You forgot Mandarin. Okay, you speak Hokkien, okay, right? You forgot that. Sign language? Chinese characters? No, I want you in Mandarin. Why are you shy about speaking Mandarin? The guy goes for Manu Chua's classes for tuition for a while, now he's like totally English. I think we'll change his name, we'll call you Edward. Okay, Edward.
我想是,
good.
当老妈, 就是他的颈椎的, 他失去, 他的行为, 他的举动, 就算他的举动的, 不大正常, 不过, 我们也不应该, 用我们的,
That when we see the lamas engaging in actions that's contradictory, for instance, like drinking alcohol,
we can hear you. It's okay.
That the lama, we should not we should not have our projections about the lamas because the lamas intent maybe to use skillful means to check on the students on certain situations.
Use skillful means to check on the student situation. You have to understand something. A lama's body, a highly realized lama, not me, a highly realized lama's body can be affected by alcohol, by wind, by sickness, by viruses, by people, by car accidents. They can be affected, but their mind cannot be. So no matter how drunk they are, how paralyzed they are, their legs are amputated, or how skinny or how fat they are, it doesn't affect their mind at all. It's just something within their body to use to benefit others around them, the type of people around them, the type of people they need to subdue. So he's with students who are hippies, at that time, students who are wild, do drugs, and students who don't want to listen about Dharma, don't want to listen about changing their mind, don't want to listen about taking responsibility. That time, doing drugs is associated in America with not taking responsibility. It's a cop-out. We're against the establishment. We're against the government. We're against materialism. So we're going to hang around in the mountains and do drugs and wear flowers because we are against the establishment. That was the thinking at that time. You guys have to put yourself there, not today. So to do drugs that time was somehow an anti-establishment, anti-materialistic, anti-material thinking. But there were a lot of people who did that as an excuse because it was just a cop-out. Because they didn't want to take responsibility. So they just did drugs to get out of that. They did alcohol. It affected their minds because they did things that were negative. They did things that were harmful. They did adultery. They killed. They robbed. They shot people. People get drunk, people do drugs, they shoot people sometimes, they hurt people, they hurt themselves. Chögyam Trungpa doesn't do that. Chögyam Trungpa, in order to reach these people, and not every Lama does that, because why? There are different methods for different groups of people. That method wouldn't work here. That method of getting drunk and coming to teachings 3 hours late and drunk, that's what he used to do, he's famous for, wouldn't work here in Malaysia. It wouldn't work at all. Why? The mentality is different. Here, if the Lama wears sleeves and has a little bit of hair, it's already controversial. Here. But we're going to change that. We're going to make it different. We're going to grow our hairs down to our backside. And we're going to wave it. And we're going to tell you to smell it. And what do you think? Shiny or not? Here, that's the mentality. So the Lamas are very kind. Why? They break your mentality with that. That's enough. They don't have to go to the level of alcohol in order to say, oh, even that person looks like that, still can be like that. Oh, not bad. I will practice. But in America, they don't know anything about vows. They don't know anything about monks that time. They don't know anything about monasticism, nothing. Here they know. Eastern culture know more about monks. Eastern culture are more based on monks. Over there, not so much. Not everybody, but pervasively, if I may say so with respect. So what happens there, for Rinpoche to grow his hair and disrobe, whatever, welcome. Welcome back from planet Mars, because they think you're a freak if you're a monk. They even make jokes if you wear robes and walk around the airport and say, hey, Hare Krishna. I'm not a Krishna. Okay, so they'll do that. So over there, you have to go one more step extreme, and I feel that's what Rinpoche did. He drank alcohol with them. He explored drugs with them. I've never taken drugs in my life. I'm allergic to alcohol. So even if I wanted to, I can't. So what happens, he went extreme and he got their respect because even when he was drunk, even when he was high, he was focused. He was teaching them the Dharma. And when they got out of it, they would be in depressions and stupors and unhappiness, but he wasn't. He was clearly focused. So I say, wait a minute, there's something with this guy's mind. That's how he got a lot of those people who would never have done Dharma into Dharma, by doing what they did. Another Lama may not do that, but you see, a lot of people at that time lost respect for him. A lot of the Tibetan community, I'm sorry to say, and that's the truth, lost a lot of respect and criticized him and went away, but not anymore. Not anymore. Even myself at that time was thinking, what's going on, but I dare not criticize. Really, I dare not. I don't dare criticize Lamas. And now I go, wow. But I don't want, see, in my situation now, I don't want to look at my Lamas and look at other people and look at situations and go, 30 years later, I'm not going to be around, and go, wow. I want to go wow right now. I want to go wow right now by doing that to my ego. Because my ego's been doing this to me my whole life. So I'm going to go like this to it now. And I'm not going to make excuses anymore. What kind of excuses? I'm not ready. I need this. I need that. I want this. I need time. There is no time. And you've gotten all you needed your whole life. It hasn't changed you at all. That's how I really feel. That's how I felt my whole life. How do I prove it to you? I'm here talking to you. I'm here working hard for the Dharma. I'm exerting myself to the Dharma. I do Dharma 24 hours a day. I prove it to you. I didn't say I'm attained. I say I'm doing Dharma work nonstop. So I prove it to you that what I say is what I mean. I'm here. I can do what you're doing too. I can go get myself a relationship. Easy. No problem to get a relationship. Just snap your fingers to come running. There's a lot of weirdos out there who want to match up. Plenty. I can go and be a go-go dancer in Pattaya. I go to Pattaya and be a go-go dancer. Oh, kiss my grace. You're thinking you, so fat and old. Yeah, there are fetishes out there. There are people into older men. I can do business too. I wouldn't be good at it right now, but I would be better. If I don't have the name of a Rinpoche, if I don't have to be all goody-goody, I don't have to worry about karma, I can be cutthroat, I can be mean and sneaky, I'll be very good in business. Very good. Sure, I can do business. I don't know if I'll be a millionaire, but I'll definitely be a thousandaire. Definitely, I'll be good in business. You think you can have relationships? I can get people even better than anything in this room, I guarantee you. I'm showing off now, but I'm confident. Some of you think, well, that's your truth. I can get a better lady than any of you can get in this room. I promise you. I can get a better guy if I want than any of you can get in this room. It's whatever's up your alley. I can even get a better in-between if that's what you're into. I can if I want to. Why am I confident? Because I don't take no for an answer. If I take no for an answer, I usually have a reason. I have a long, far-fetched reason. Either I want the students to solicit and make requests to create the karma again, or there's damage. But that's going to be up to the students to decide and check. For the students not to give up. If you believe I have no agenda. If you believe I have an agenda, then you take whatever I say on face value. Then you take Chogyam Trungpa's drinking on face value. I'm not his level. Really, I'm not. I don't think so. I doubt it. But I can imitate him. I can be a mini Chogyam Trungpa. I can be a baby Chogyam Trungpa. I'm a mini, mini Chogyam Trungpa. 1%. No problem. So what happens? We think about that. When he came out of his drunken stupor, when he was in it, he was totally focused. He knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. We can see his results now. At that time, cannot. At that time, cannot. That's why I will agree with you to say that method doesn't match everyone. Correct. But I will disagree with you to say that method was not correct. What I also say to you is, if that's the only method you have available, it's either that or stay in samsara, grab that. You know, you don't go to your house and it's burning and someone's gonna rescue you, say, I don't like the way you look, you're ugly, I don't want you to rescue me. The fireman says, what? But you're burning up. You're too skinny and you got weird hair and I don't like the way your eyes look and you twitch. And you got a twitchy look and you're a pervert, and while you're holding me and taking me down the ladder from the burning three-story building, you might feel me up. So I don't wanna go, I'm gonna wait till the next person comes along. And the fireman's like, what? You gotta be kidding! So the next fireman goes up there. He says, I'm not gonna go with you, you're fat, that's not my type. But that was too skinny. Yeah, but I don't like fat either. God, burn, burn, baby, burn. I mean, you know, think about it. So if you're around this Rinpoche and there's only one Rinpoche in that, and you say, well, that doesn't fit me, this doesn't fit me, I can't learn that, that's not my style, that, it's a cop-out. It's a cop-out. If you're starving, grab whatever food you can eat. If the burning, the building's burning and the fireman's scary, just never mind, love. If he wants to feel you up while he's going down, feel away. If you don't have to die, what? Think about it. That's how people are. You're in a burning building, the fireman comes in, you don't like the way he looks, he's too skinny, he's too fat, his eyes twitch, and I'm not going with you, he's a pervert. Dear, that's what people do. They look at the small picture, they don't look at the big picture. You're burning in samsara, you're wasting your life away, your time is withering away, it's disappearing, and then you're still saying, but it has to be this way, or this way, or I'm not going to be a Buddha. I'm like, what? Yeah, I'm not going to be a Buddha. Mm-mm-mm. I'm going to stay in samsara, and I'm going to go to hell. Mm-mm-mm. And you can't do anything about it. And you're like, good luck. That's what you like to say, but since you have bodhisattva vows like me, you go, oh no, compassion. I'll teach you. I'll help you. No. Come to Rinpoche. Tell Rinpoche what's the matter. Come. Tell her. I hate you, Rinpoche. You're mean. You scream. You tell me off. You embarrass me. Oh, I'm sorry. Rinpoche's wrong. Rinpoche would be Vajrasattva tonight. Rinpoche's so sorry at screaming at you. So sorry. Can Rinpoche prostrate to you? No. Please, can Rinpoche prostrate, offer pata, and say he's sorry, and do a 35 confession of the retreat for screaming at you? No. Oh, well, what can Rinpoche do to purify his karma? Let me think about it. That's how people are. It's reached a level where Rinpoches have to confess their actions and purify their negative karma for the students. The students all sit there and go, you can't do that to me, you can't say this to me, you can't act like that to me, and I can't, you can't do this to me, and you're unskillful, and that's not my way, that's not my time, I'm not ready, I am ready, I'm partly ready, I'm maybe ready, I'm not ready anymore. And you're like, what? And you're looking at them going, all right, dear student Rinpoche, can you tell teacher Rinpoche what confessional prayers he should do to do that bad karma to purify you? Let me think about it. Oh dear, that's how it's become. Rinpoches are under scrutiny. Teachers are under fire. Teachers are scrutinized for everything, the way they dress, the way they eat, the way they look, their pimple on their face, whether they're beautiful, whether they're groomed, they have hair, they don't have hair. They're scrutinized, they're watched, and they're checked out for everything. And any little mistake, Well, what about if the Rinpoche points out your mistake? Cannot. Bad Rinpoche. Bad. So how do you help people become enlightened when you tell them a lie, you're wonderful? You have no ego. You're generous. You're not lazy. You have no subtle obscurations and defilements. You be exactly as you are. Keep doing what you're doing, and you know what? See you in Kacho heaven. See you in Vajragini's heaven. What do you want? The teachers to lie? They can't lie. They can't tell you the truth. What do you want the teachers to do? So the teachers are kind of stuck. So what this teacher does is, just tell them whether they like it or not. Why? Time is short. And I don't have time to pussyfoot around, you know, like a little cat. No time. You don't have time, and I don't have time. My time is short, and some of you's time is even shorter. And in some of your cases, very short. And that's the truth. Just think, these days, Rinpoches go to students to ask for purification practices for scolding them. I'm sorry for scolding you. What about like that? That's what Kenshin Rinpoche told me in the monastery before. Pretty much soon you want me to apologize to you. He told me once, he screamed at me. And it woke me up. When Kenshin Rinpoche screamed at me, I got screamed at many times, but I didn't complain about that. When he screamed at me, it woke me up. And I thought, why is he screaming at me and not the other student? Initially I thought, oh, because he doesn't see what I really am, who I really am. And then when I woke up, I said, no, I needed it. Because why? That student stayed in the monastery. I had to go out. And I had to deal with public. And I had to deal with criticisms. And I have to deal with disappointments. And I have to deal with people lying and tricking me and breaking commitments and breaking samayas and giving up and going away and coming. That's what Bhante Rinpoche also said to me. I have to deal with all of that. They didn't. So Rinpoche got me ready. Now I realize. So So all the times when Rinpoche told me things that were wrong about me, I know they're wrong, but he still insists on it. Now I realize, because I'm accused of things I don't do now. But it doesn't bother me, because Rinpoche already got me ready. Now I realize the people he didn't criticize in the same house, and I saw them doing something. They weren't studying, they weren't meditating, they were sleeping, and they were eating. They were sleeping, and they even watched movies, which I did later. And he didn't say anything to them. In fact, he praised them. Some of these monk students, they were filled with arrogance. They expected you to put a cushion for them, and they come in front of Kenshin Rinpoche with their robes like, I am also a great master. I saw it, and I'm like, I'm groveling, I'm prostrating to Rinpoche, I massage him, I wash his clothes, I'm a slave, and I'm always wrong. But what I realize now is these people are still there, and they don't have to do any work. Why, I have no idea. But I had to go out. I was kicked out. I was sent out. I was forced out. One time I was trying to escape from Gandhi, and now I'm trying to run back in. That's how samsara is. Yeah, now I'm like, I wish I was in Gandhi. I wish I was there. I wish I was there. I wish I was in Gandhi. I don't hate Malaysia. Live here as a normal layperson, fine. If you're a monk trying to spread the Dharma, don't be a teacher in Malaysia. Anything else? Wonderful country. Wonderful. Let me make it better. Don't be a teacher in samsara, the end. Don't talk about Malaysia. Anywhere on the planet, don't be a Dharma teacher. They got their rocks ready. Oh yeah, that's the truth. Don't be a Dharma teacher. The expectation of you is beyond the Buddha. You won't, the things you ask your Dharma teacher, you won't even ask the Buddha. You would, you'd be too shy. So, what I know is now is the times that my teacher put me down, now I know why. The times my teacher accused me, many times. You know, sometimes they scream at me. You can ask Mamie, my other teacher, would scream at me in public, but I would never react back. There was one time I was in Thubten Dajiling Center, His Holiness Ganden Chin Rinpoche was coming to our center to give a Dharma talk. So we were in our center with Geshe Thubten Gyaltsen, getting the center ready. We were really rushed for time. We just finished painting the Gomba, is the prayer hall, Gomba, G-O-M-P-A. We're in a Gomba, like this is a Gomba, putting the statues on and getting the last touches, and Ganden Chin Rinpoche showing up anytime. That Ganden Chin Rinpoche, Jizun Jambo Shenben. And so I was in charge of the altar as usual. I love it. So I put up the scriptures on the altar because it had different layers and I had different cabinets with windows. I put the statues there, I put it here, put it there, so that it wouldn't be empty. And it looked beautiful, and it was my job. And when Geshe-la walked in, he looked at that and he says, he screamed. He screamed. I mean, he was so uncharacteristic. He said, who put that in there? I'm like, my ego was so embarrassed because there were a lot of people watching. The other part of me was like, but that's what you told me to do. And Geshe-la screamed, who put that there? And then the other students kind of walked away, and I was being a traitor. Because they were like helping with a chair, they opened the cabinet, they were handing it to me. I'm like, traitor, you wait till you need help, or wait till we go to Tso, and you need to make offerings. I'll say I'm not available. And so I went, and Geshe says, I didn't say for you to do that. I didn't tell you to do that. We don't have enough time. Ganden Chin Rinpoche is showing up any minute, and do you think it'll look good for him to walk into the Gomba, and you're on the ladder putting things on there? I didn't tell you to, and he was going on and on screaming. So everybody around him was like this. I prostrated, I folded myself, and I said, I'm sorry, and I prostrated. I was so embarrassed, and I was angry, I was embarrassed, but not angry in a bad way. I was thinking, what did I miss here? And I kept brainstorming myself, what happened? I was around 17, 18. And then like 45 minutes later, Ganden Chin Rinpoche still didn't show up. We found out he's late. There's no handphones that time in the 80s, right? So Geshe-la just sat down on his throne, and he says, all right, Ganden Chin Rinpoche is late. And you know, my first thought was, see? I didn't say it, but I said that. I was thinking about see? And I checked my ego out. And Geshe-la said, actually, my name is Bircha in America. Actually, Bircha didn't do anything wrong. He did it right. I just didn't think we'd have any time. Yeah, and I'm like, well, that's what I said. And I checked my mind out. And out of all the people, Geshe-la rarely screams. Rarely. He screamed at me really loud. You can ask Mamie, I think she was there. Anyways, what I realized is they're preparing me for what I need to do in the future. They're preparing me. None of the other students, except for one, is teaching. And he was quite fierce on this nun. Very fierce. She's very gentle. She's very gentle. She's still there. She's still teaching. She serves Geshe-la a lot. She's in a center shredding away for the last 20 years. She even opened has another center where she teaches for Geshe-la. And he was very harsh and very strict and very fierce on her. I saw it. She never talked back. Now she's a Dharma teacher. I heard from Amy, she's teaching. And she in fact goes to prison. Listen to this. She goes to prison and teaches Dharma in prisons. Not female prisons, male. And that's how Geshe-la trained her up to get ready for really tough people. We didn't know that then. Really. I mean, it could be a coincidence or it could be real, but that's what's happened now. I'm teaching here in the East, she's teaching in the West. But he was quite fierce on her. At that time, people would go up to her and go, oh, you know, never mind. You know, Geshe-la has a reason. We don't know. Even we don't know the reason, just never mind, never mind. I saw that. I saw. So what I'm trying to say is, am I justifying for me? No. But I will tell you one thing, straight out and clear. Straight out and clear. I did not detect agenda in me. I do detect ego, but I don't have any materialistic agenda for people. If I did, I could obtain it many times over in the past. I have many opportunities. So am I praising myself? No. I'm rejoicing in the one quality that I have that I know is very clear. I don't have any materialistic agenda. So when I say that, I can tell you that there's a higher level of operation. For great teachers, there is a higher level of operation. There are people that actually take the Dharma, and you know what? Listen to this. There are actually people who take the Dharma, and they don't find it hard to practice. There are people like that. Unlike me or some of us, there are people who don't find it difficult to practice the Dharma. So what I'm telling you is that I don't have a materialistic agenda means that if I, being who I am, a nobody, can reach a slight better level than a normal who I was 20, 30 years ago to have no agenda for material gains, I know that another level is possible. You see, when you gain a certain level, you know another level is possible. When you have no level, you don't believe any level is possible. You think it's hard. I don't have clairvoyance and power. I don't have control. But I definitely don't have a materialistic agenda for myself. That I know. I check myself and I've had many people check me. So if I can gain that quality in my life, I know I can gain better qualities, and I know there are people who gain more qualities. So therefore, if I can gain that, if other people can gain better qualities, there is a thing such as a Buddha. Steps. That's my logic behind believing in a Buddha. That's my logic. Think about it, please. Think about what I've said. So therefore, we've covered all 8 points. All 8 points are covered in my Dharma talk. All of it, I've intertwined it together. And I'm finished. It is my sincere hope. And I can swear by it. That you all will take this and make a difference in your mind and not be the same the next day. It is my sincere hope. And the reason for that is love the correct way the people around you. Love the people around you correctly by your practice and the difference it makes in your mind. Show love to the people around you that way. If you need to be fierce with compassion. If you need to be gentle with compassion. There are some people who are quite sneaky and tricky, but they talk very soft and talk very nice, but they're very sneaky. They don't ever raise their voice. They're quite sneaky. So if you want to talk gentle, even talk gentle with compassion. If you want to go to sleep, sleep with compassion. How? I will rest my body so that I can do more Dharma work to benefit others. Therefore, I will go to sleep. And even sleeping becomes meritorious. Don't go towards, gravitate towards, pray towards, increase the habituation, and make it stronger, the habit of attachment to a partner, attachment to food, attachment to money, attachment to material, attachment to name, to position. Why? because it'll all be taken away from you sooner or later. So the energy you put into it is not worth the result you get. Because the energy you put into it is not worth the result that you get. Isn't that the truth? I'm not giving you some dharma fear. You're going to be punished. You're going to go to hell. I'm not giving you, Dhammapada set up is not going to help you. No, I'm not going to give you any fears. You can't be scared. You know enough dharma to rise above superstition. Most of you. So I'm giving you the truth. And I sincerely hope that the effort that I put in opening a center and putting in liaisons, the effort I put in nurturing people, in giving gifts, and spending thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars a year giving gifts, and spending literally hundreds of thousands of dollars to help my students who are in danger and problems. Hundreds of thousands. And I hope thousands of hours I spent in teaching. And I hope the thousands of hours I spent in buying food and arranging it, and the hundreds of hours I've spent in SMSing Dharma messages to people, and the amount of time I've given from my personal life, because I don't have any personal freedom at all. I can't do what all of you can do. That all the time that I've given in a monastery, and all the effort I've given toward guru devotion and practice and learning the Dharma in my life, I dedicate it to you. I dedicate it to everyone listening to this teaching will hear. I dedicate it to you. And I pray your mind will transform. I pray you will create less difficulties in your mind for yourself and others. And I sincerely dedicate and pray that my life in the Dharma, teaching, the monastery, the poverty that I've suffered, sleeping on the streets, this incarnation has gone through. And all the money and all the energy and time that I've spent, everything that I've given, I dedicate to all of you. And I'm not being dramatic, I really do. Everyone who hears this, transform your mind. If you can commit to doing Dharma work, commit. Forget about yourself. If you can donate to Dharma work, donate. Forget about the next car you want to buy. Add it to your 8 cars. If you can be patient and not show ugliness to your partner and lover and friend, control your anger. Control it and don't show it. If you can fulfill the dedication by being very patient and not complaining to others, do it. If you want to give up attaining enlightenment and practicing and going through the difficult methods, I dedicate you, don't. A lama, and I'm trying to be, will dedicate his life to all of you. You will never hear him say anything besides Gewandi Nududa, Daso Jine Sapi Gewandi, or Chujijabu Zongapa. No lama will ever dedicate any dedications for their self achievement, for their self gain. No lama. Every lama, after every dharma talk, every dharma action, every dharma day, every dharma session, will dedicate to others. Why? That is what a lama's life is about. It's not in just beautiful words. If you've attended today's talk, and you've heard this, let other people know. Tenma Rinchi dedicates his merits to all of you. That your mind, please transform. That your actions, please transform. Please think about others more than yourself. Please put your reputation on the line. Please look bad if it benefits another person. Please use methods that you're not used to help another person. Please. Why? That's the only way to leave any unhappiness you have in your mind. And it's much more difficult. It is much more difficult. But the result will be lasting and permanent. Is this an appeal? Yes. Is it a request? Yes. Is it a dedication? Yes. The rest of your lives, commit to spiritual practice and transformation. And dedication to others. How do you do that? If you're good at complaining, don't complain. If you're good at anger, don't get angry, control yourself. If you're lazy to push yourself, push yourself. If you can't commit, commit yourself. Whatever you find difficult, may my dedication transform that difficulty for you. May none of you ever take rebirth in a horrible situation. Horrible. May you change your destiny. I can't change it for you, but I can give you the teachings. I can't take your problems away, but I can share you with you, Lord Buddha's methods to alleviate them long term. If you're lazy, face it. If you're manipulative, face it. If you're stingy, face it. If you have a big ego, face it. If you always run away and escape, face it. How do you face it? Don't do it. I dedicated to this, and I'm not trying to criticize you. I dedicated for this. Hence, always I recite Gewandi. Gewandi yinu du da lama sangye du yin. Draw a chingye ma ma dey salako basha. May all sentient beings reach the Guru Buddha's state of enlightenment. Hence, that's why I'm explaining this to you. So the thousands of hours I've taught, the 42 years of my life, I'm 42 that I've given to the Dharma, the many years I've slept on the street, even to attend Vajrayana teachings when I was very young, when I was in my 12 or 13, I got slapped for, I got beaten up for. And after Vajrayana teachings, I left my home immediately because I was not allowed to stay home anymore since I wanted to practice the Dharma. I was disowned. I never saw my mother and father ever again after I left. That was their wish. That is the sacrifice I went through. I worked 3 jobs. I worked very hard in America to support myself to stay in the Dharma Center. I worked very, very hard. And the reason was to stay in the Dharma Center. I gave up everything in America at 22, 23 to go to India to become a monk. I stayed in the monastery starving to death, studying with my teachers. I was forced to go and teach. I wasn't allowed to go to retreat. I've not been able to work for my own sustenance. There were many times in Malaysia, many times, I had no money. And very little people to support me, help me. There were many times that I had nothing. That if I didn't work for the Dharma, I would have something, inverted commas. And that the work that I put toward here by building a center, raising funds, making sponsors happy, begging, asking, talking, convincing, the thousands of hours I spent out of the limelight, out of the throne, behind the scenes in my private house, in my private ladrang, in Damekong, the thousands of hours that I spent with people individually, and I mean thousands, and the thousands of hours of retreats I've done, and the daily practices I've done, and offerings, and the generosity of saving my students, helping financially, so many ways, so many years of helping my students, all that must mean something. It must mean something. All my suffering and problems, suffering, inverted commas, it cannot be wasted. So I dedicate it. I really do. I dedicate it that everyone may be liberated. First step to transform your mind. Transform your thoughts. Repay the kindness of the people around you. In the real way. Repay the kindness of the people around you in the real way. Please listen to me. The real way. Don't give up. Push. Make the Dharma grow from compassion, not bias. Follow your lineage, follow your teacher, follow your center loyally, not from bias, from focus of one path. I dedicate for that. I truly do. I can't dedicate for anything else. Because if I dedicated for myself, all that would have been wasted. If I dedicated for everyone else, it would not be wasted. I'll tell you why. Because that's the qualities we need to achieve and have to become a Buddha. So how can I dedicate opposite the quality of a Buddha? I must dedicate it in accordance with the path of the Buddha to become a Buddha. Cause resemble result. Result resemble cause. Yinguo. So like that, there's no other way I can dedicate it if I am smart. And it's less courage to dedicate it for yourself. It's more courage to dedicate for others. No, Actually, it's more courage to dedicate for others and less courage to dedicate for yourself. Why? If you dedicate for others, the result takes longer, but the result is permanent. When you dedicate for yourself, the result is quick, but it's not permanent. And it gets taken away. Don't we want permanency? Isn't the Noble Truth talking about impermanence? And when things change, we suffer? I mean every word I say. Time is short. Life is short. Do your sadhus. Give your time over to the Dharma. And that those of you who have the honor to receive tantric initiation, do your sadhus long. Hold your commitments, do so. Don't make it a joke. Don't switch your practices back and forth. You like this one, you like that one, you don't like that one, that one. Don't switch gurus and practices like we switch our menu. And if you have a lama, and I don't refer to me, but it may look like that, or may indirectly become that, follow your lama. Have faith in your lama. And no matter how your lama manifests, think of the higher purpose. Support the monks. Support the sangha, because they are studying, they're holding their vows. Support the nuns, they're holding their vows. They're beautiful women and men who have dedicated their lives to Dharma. That's what we do. Make Dharma books happen. Support your Dharma center. Support your Dharma people. And those people with positions such as liaison and committee, do your job. Don't complain other people are not doing their job. Don't complain no one showed you or taught you or you don't know anything. That can't be true, but if that's the situation, how do we turn it around? That's the secret. And if your lama has called upon you to do things, please do it. Please do it because he's dedicating his merits towards you. If he's asked you to do something, you can be sure he's at his house secretly making offerings and doing pujas to empower you. You can be sure of that. Every lama will do that. So if the lama's asked you to do something, do it from your heart. Even if you fail, you didn't fail, because perhaps it's the work, perhaps it's your attitude that he's trying to transform. Maybe he's trying to transform your attitude, maybe he's just trying to transform the work. You're not sure. But definitely, if the lama calls upon you to do work, don't refuse. Don't stop. You'll change your karma, you'll change your destiny, you'll change what will happen to you later. Trust the lama if you believe the lama has no agenda. After you've checked your lama, if you feel he has no agenda, that means ulterior negative motivation. And when he calls upon you to do the work, do it. I'm not talking about here, I'm talking about every single student out there who is blessed by the presence of their lama in every lineage and everywhere. And when you come across obstacles, it is your lama's blessings. So your negative karma will purify and you'll become stronger. This is what I was told by Lucky Rinpoche. I believe it. So, whatever the Lama has said and asked you, do it. There can be higher reasons. There can be a long-term reason. Do it. It doesn't necessarily have to be magical. A parent can tell a daughter, a father can tell a daughter, a mother can tell a son what to do to predict the future by saying do this and this and this. It's just by logic. A guru can also. One who practices and knows the Dhamma. It's not psychic powers. I'm not trying to pretend I've got powers. No. So think about that. It's almost 12 o'clock, and we're all Cinderellas. We need to get out of here by 12. But today you spent 3 hours in listening to something that helps your life. You spent 3 hours in something that transforms your life. And you've spent 3 hours, which was probably the best part of your month in Dharma. Why do I assume that? Not because you saw Tenrinji, because of the message. Transform the mind. Change your attitude. Let go of those who hurt you. Forgive those who hurt you. Forgive yourself for your fear of failure. Let go of your failures. You have failed and you're afraid to fail again. That's why we run. We run because we're afraid to fail again. And when we see failure coming around the bend, we run. Don't be hard. Forgive your failure and don't run. Continue. Be generous with others. Share your bounty and good fortune. Don't be calculative. The results are harsh. And watch one's speech. Anything you say about another person will come back to you. And if that person is realized or practiced or has vows, it will be even stronger the karma that comes back to you. Hold your tantric vows, hold your bodhisattva vows, hold your refuge vows. Hold it more precious than your own eyes. And do what the Lama has requested of you. Not when he's watching, not when other people are watching. When you're watching. And then you'll find purpose. Any questions? It's been a great pleasure. Although I hate teaching, when I actually teach, I feel fulfilled. But I actually hate teaching. And don't ask me why. You see, if you're a trainer at the gym, and the guy who's been training you for the last 5 years is still fat and overweight, you're going to hate your job. Let me give you a hint. Since I need to end this with a little bit of a reality show emotions. So therefore, I don't know when, I don't know how, I'm working on it, because I'm afraid to work with in a situation where people can't make it, they cop out, they can't do it, they give up, they're not committed, or they do it halfway. But I would like to do a talk show, as I told all of you guys. And I want to interview people, just like this. I want to bring Dharma out, VIA the people. So I want to have a couch, and I'm going to be the Tibetan, Malaysian Oprah Winfrey, and I'm going to ask you wonderful questions that make you think, that make you answer, that make you talk, and that'll make you know what you don't know, that'll make you know what you do know, not to embarrass you, to embarrass you, to irk you, to push you, to also make you feel good. So, I will ask you in such a way that you will convey the Dharma to others. I have my wish. And that'll be exciting. We'll have a live audience. We'll have a live audience, about 2 or 3 guests, and we'll have subjects like, how did you feel about going to Ganden? What did you think about Ganden Monastery? What was your first experience when you came into Dharma Center? Did your mother freak out when you said you were a Tibetan Buddhist? And what was your first thought about Tibetan Buddhism? The Lamas all want money. Let's talk about it. The Lamas all want money. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about controversial issues. Let's talk about non-controversial. We're just going to talk. We're going to talk and we're going to air this all over the world. Why? Because there's going to be a lot of people out there who think just like us, but they're not air, they're not saying. So Tamarichi is going to do that. Tamarichi is going to be a show host that interviews you, that asks you questions, and you're going to be sitting there watching and interacting. Instead of sitting there listening to him talk for 3 hours, we're going to listen to each other talk, and we're not going to be afraid. So it's going to be this. The theme is knowledge through students. Dharma through students. And I came up with that because I had sore throat and laryngitis, and I was heaving from talking. So I thought, how do I get away with not teaching but still teach? Da-da-da. So imagine if I get Wai Ming, who's been Dharma so many years. How about Mr. Koki, who's sitting down there, we talk. There's going to be things he knows. There's going to be things he doesn't know. But that's the whole process. Because everybody else can relate with that person. I know there's some people thinking, I hope I don't get called off. Like silly Millie, she's thinking, please not me. Please, stop. Not me. Definitely. And then Natasha sitting there saying, I will not sleep for a whole week and live in Ladrang and do whatever you want if you don't call me up. I won't sleep for 2 weeks. Nothing. I won't sleep for the rest of this year if I don't get called up. I know Natasha's saying that. She's going to write little notes and SMS and round and round, you know, like bargaining. But the people who bargain are the ones who get called up first. And there'll be people who's dying to get up there. Who's dying, who's thinking, what do I wear, like JP. He's dying. You know why? JP, he doesn't have ego about talking. He talks well. He's got great speech. He looks good. Paris was in love with him for 4 weeks, right? And now it's over. And he looks good. He talks well. And if he talks, there's going to be a lot of people out there who are just like him who can relate to what he's talking about. So that's what it's about. You see, you're going to appeal to a certain group, so we need to have a variety of people. So it appeals to everybody, and that's fun. And sometimes we're not going to talk about Dharma. We can talk about what we had for dinner and why. We can talk about why were you born in JB? We can talk a lot of things. Yeah. We can talk about balding, because I was losing a lot of hair. We can talk about balding, we can talk about how you feel about it, how, in relation to balding and Dharma and Karma. Isn't that great? Balding, Dharma, and Karma. I don't know, somehow weave it in. We can talk about a lot of things, and we're going to be open and easy about it. Why are we going to do that? It's going to be another way to express, to learn, to share Dharma with many people out there. And that's our job, to bring Dharma to many people as we can, through many methods. And we can fail, we can make it, we can fail, we can make it, we can fail, make it in many ways. But we can't stop trying in this life and future lives. Why? Because we have compassion. So we're going to have that. I don't know what it's going to call it. Maybe it's going to be the Tenrinchi show. We're going to think of something really catchy. The Neon Lama Hour. Neon Lama speaks. Trash opens his mouth. Something. Trashy Lama. Tibetan goes to the dumps. A Tibetan Lama finished. Something like that. And I get accused of being disrobed. I'm not disrobed, but I get accused of that. So we can talk. This robe opens his mouth. So I'll be like all tears. You know how I hid this robe? You know how? Because I was in a train station and I was raped. Oh, yeah, right. And we get Sachin up there. We talk about Rod Stewart and hair. Isn't it great? We'll get Mr. Nal up here. We'll talk about very sensitive issues like his previous affiliations. And then every time we mention a name, we go bloop. And then we'll get Crystal up here. How do you feel about the title Madame Mixama? What's the pressures? We'll talk about it. Madame Mixama had a lot of stairs. Can you do a little chanting for us? We'll get Joy up here. Joy is a beautiful young Malaysian lady with a beautiful young New Zealand man, and they're a wonderful little lover here, a couple. And we'll get Joy up here and we'll say, how do you feel about statues and painting? Why? She does a great job, incredible painting, some sort. We'll talk about it. Why do you paint? How do you paint? And when Rinpoche first told you that, do you think it was some kind of trick to trap you into Dharma work and don't work outside? And what did your friends tell you? What did your sister tell you? They say all kinds of things. And you know what? Whatever she says is going to benefit a lot of people out there, because there's going to be a lot of young ladies and men out there who are just like her. Beautiful, intelligent, but they're spiritual. And people want to hear it. Then we'll talk about Ben. We'll ask him, Ben, why is it when I ask you a question, it takes 5 minutes for you to think and answer 10 minutes later? We go for a commercial break. We can talk about that. We can talk about how to speed talk. You know? Then we get Chiang. You know, he's on TV. We're talking. We wake him up first. Wake up. Ask your question. That's right. We'll get Andy up there, and we'll have cue cards. Commercial break, Andy. Oh yes, we have a lot of people. They're very, very excited. We'll get James up there. James is a great singer. We're going to ask him, how do you bring Dharma into your singing life? Let's talk about it. You see, James is very sneaky. When he's featured on programs for singing, he's the head of Saraswati Kichara House, and they're very subtle. So people ask him, what's Kichara House? What's that? What's that? Then he starts talking, and you know, he becomes a preacher, and you have to take refuge in the future world. And we have a beautiful lady here, Wan. She's from Thailand. We'll ask, why does a young, intelligent, educated, beautiful lady in Bangkok hang out in Malaysia? We'll have her change the reasons, but anyway, if you guys know her, we'll think of a more diplomatic reason. We won't show her the results for a bad karma. And how do you feel about working in Kichara Paradise and running it over and all that stuff? And we gotta get JP. We have a fashion show, you know? We'll have a 10-minute, yeah, why not? We'll have a little fashion show, like our fashion JD princess here. Joanne Tan parade up and down her outfits and her heels. Have you seen her in some of her JB downtown beautiful fashions? Incredible. So we'll have her walk up there, and then of course we'll have Rudy, who'll be our male model. We'll call it Tenrinchi and neon shirts. Rudy's fabulous, I like him. I'm not even joking. We can have this kind of thing, we'll be creative. Why? That's today's world, my friends. That's how people need the Dharma, my friends. There's conservatives out there, there's old-fashioned people out there, there's new-fashioned, they're all correct. Old-fashioned people, old-fashioned lamas, new-fashioned lamas, nobody's right, nobody's wrong. However, we can bring the Dharma message to people. Let's do it. Let's do it. And if people criticize us for that, never mind, because we dedicated ourselves to others. So they're going to put you down because you're different. They're going to put you down because you're acting non-Buddhist or non-Tibetan Lama or non-conformation style. You're not conforming to the way you're supposed to be. If they criticize you for that, be patient and dedicate it back to them. In response to their harm, give them love. When others, out of jealousy, treat me with abuse, slander, and so on, may I suffer the defeat and offer the victory to others. May I offer the victory to others. So sometimes when we offer the victory to others, we might have to tell them off. We have to shout at them. Why? If we didn't care, we wouldn't do that, would we? If we didn't care enough, we wouldn't shout it off. Offer the victory to others. Offering the victory comes in many ways. That's what we're going to do. When or how, where. The best place is with the oasis. But Kichara House moves at the rate of a very fast turtle. So it's going to be 6 months, 8 months, I don't know how long, but I'm praying. I'm doing prayers. Except for, show me a miracle, please. We can do it within a reasonable amount of time before you're enthroning my new incarnation. So that would be great with the oasis. We set up a couch, we talk. Just like this, very casual. We have drinks, we have interviews, we have different subject matters. And then we air it. Why do we air it? Well, it was Sing Tao's idea last year to tell me to get on the net that, you know, you don't need a big budget. You don't need TV. You don't need to buy airtime. You can just do it over the net. He told me last year. Yesterday, he tried to remind me that it was his idea again. I told him to shut up. Because I saw on CCTV, China News, that today the internet is in competition with TV. The competition is taking leaps and bounds, that there is more people on the internet than there is watching TV now. It's free, it's innovative, it's fun, it's informational, you can surf, you can watch, you can just watch CNN on your own computer. Why watch on a TV? And TV and computers can get everywhere and more functional. So there are more people looking at the free internet than costly TV. So it's coming into competition. So immediately it was born in my idea thinking, why not convey Dharma to the internet? And then when I said I came up with a brilliant idea, you know, the light bulb went on, Singbell came and turned it off. It was my idea. I'm like, so we had an ego battle, whose idea it was. And I said, no, it was my idea because 2-3 years ago I tried to get on TV. 4 years ago I got TV. You were just sitting around in Singapore changing your diapers. I was trying to get on. But of course I won the debate because I studied your guru, shut up. Sometimes you have to use your guru status to shut them up to win. Win what? I don't know. Let them win. Sometimes when you make them shut up, they win because they learn how to shut up. Different methods for different people. Yes, different methods. Sometimes they'll tell people to shut up. Quiet, don't, you're wrong. To help them to win. Because they're grasping onto right away. Cut it off. Didn't Zongsa Kensuji say, you've hired your guru to be your professional assassin. So if he's going to assassinate your ego, why do you protest? Why do you make noise? Why is the teachings beautiful when it happens to someone else, but when it happens to you, you can't take it? Why is the teachings beautiful when you read it in a book and it happened 30 years ago to Rinpoche, blah, 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 and the student X, but if it happens to you and your Rinpoche, it's wrong? Why is it okay for everybody else, but it's not okay for you? Ego, ego, ego. So if we have ego, you know the results of ego. Why is it okay when it's in a book? That's what I used to tell myself. I told myself all the time. So that's what we're going to do in the near future. When, who, how, what, it's nothing. It's just a concept that came in my mind. Most likely here because it's more convenient. But even who's going to form it, who's going to do it, who's going to be involved, I don't know yet. I've gotten a few strange offers, indirect SMS from people who want to be involved on a committee to do it immediately. I didn't reply to them at all because the people who committed and the people who want to come on, they just want to steal a limelight, I know. I know they want to look better and be the star. Don't think I don't know your evil plots. Dear MG, I think your idea is so innovative, so fabulous, and so wonderful, and I will do anything to help you on the set or in any way. Delete. It's my turn. It's my turn. Me. To be the star. Sing Piao tells me, but you're already an internet star. I said, where's the money? Show me in money. He says, but not everything's in monetary gains. I said, I don't care. Money. I got enough merits. Money. He said, later, later. I said, later how many years? Contract. Money. Well, I got more money. I can expand more. Here. What am I going to do with it? Buy myself another black Merc? Buy myself a house that I need very badly? What am I going to do with the money? If I go partying, if I get caught anywhere in town, that's Rainbow Cheek, look! And he's buying drinks for the whole group! I have nowhere to escape to in Kuala Lumpur if I have money. What else then? So I just drop it in Dharma Center and expand. Can you imagine I get caught in Louis Vuitton and Boutique Bintan, LV shop, I'm buying a bag, and that's there. Can you imagine? And then I get caught. Well, imagine if I'm JB with dark glasses buying, you know, an LV wallet, and guess who I get caught by? Hi, Rinpoche! Everybody's shocked, like, that's a Rinpoche? Uh-oh. What am I gonna do with all this money? What? Have silver spoons and gold spoons? More diamonds? No, 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 no. Rinpoche definitely wants money, definitely. All Rinpoches want money. Every Rinpoche wants money. What they do with it is different. I'm not justifying, I'm just telling you the truth. My old students will know that. My old students will know all of that. That's why I'm very daring. Yeah. So, I tell these people, okay, I'm doing all this money. Because when I checked my account, I went into a very scary fit. I got to cut down costs even more. Yeah, that's very scary. But anyways, I can die first or run out of money first, so just keep living, I guess. So if any of you rich want to throw some money, throw it. Throw it right here. Okay, good, good, good. That was a good session. I went 15 minutes beyond, but I finished Dharma Talk. You see, I was explaining something else, so I'm still within the border. I don't know who gave me the rule, but I think 12 o'clock is good. Dasol. May everyone be free from the battle with yourself. May everyone be free and have control of your destiny and rebirth in death. May you be able to forgive and let go and bring purpose to your life. May you stop thinking about yourself directly, but think of others. May you transform your mind completely. May all of you become a fully enlightened Buddha. May I also become a fully enlightened Buddha. Garirewe. Gewangi. Gewangi. Gewangi.